Absolutely not, especially coming out of Evangeline Downs. Never even heard of the likes of Shoemaker or Bill Hartack, and to be mentioned in the same breath of those names is quite amazing. You know, to move out of the bush traction into a place closer to New York, which I thought was going to be my final destination, and just cut my teeth in Maryland, really, and learn some of the heroes of the game, some of the legends of the game, Shoemaker, Angel, and so on. The locals, Eddie De La Russa and Randy Romero, I didn't know who those guys were until I arrived in Maryland. I had heard of guys like the fog jockey, Sylvester Kramush, because he was riding weekends with me at Acadiana Downs on the bush track. Absolutely not, and incredible, and feel quite blessed.
Well, 6,000 is a tremendous accomplishment, and did you feel any pressure as you approached the 6,000 to get it over with?
No, absolutely not, not at all, and you're going to love this one. America, and that statistic doesn't count my worldly wins. I actually have 6,100 and like 27. So in my mind, 6,000 was passed a year ago.
Interesting point. And it
does stick in my mind. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I have 6,122 or something like that. And when my immediate goal, I'm sure you've read notes about it, is to pass the state legend, Eddie De La Russa, and I will count my worldly wins.
That's right. So where else in the world did you win?
Well, I have 121 in Japan.
Right.
I remember I went there for 5 years.
Yeah, I remember you took my daughter with you.
3 months a year for 5 years. Yeah, that's right. She came when Jacob was initially implanted with his cochlear implants. That's right. Yeah, so she spent some time with me in Tokyo and Oi and Kyoto and all of Japan. There's one or two in Dubai. I know for sure there's one in Dubai. And Hong Kong, Happy Valley, or Sha Tin. I don't remember which one. But aside from Japan, there might be two others.
Kent, you bring up Jacob. And, you know, you are one. I know you a very long time. And you've always been very forthright about your life and your career. And like most of us, you have a story, and you've overcome a lot of adversity personally and in your family life. The perseverance and the effort made on a daily basis, does it a number like this make all of that worth it? And reflect on that a little bit.
Well, I think that the most important thing I can say about my kids is not very kind to myself, because I chose a career of being a jockey, and I can count on one hand how many times I've been to one of their weekend soccer games or basketball games, or the baby Jacob, who's 21, or he went to drama class. And I can count one play that I went to. So, I spent every weekend at the racetrack while my kids were growing up, and I missed that. I missed that tremendously. And I have to thank my family, immediate family now, and my extended family for the tremendous amount of support they gave me, taxiing my kids around the state to basketball, football, soccer games, drama classes. And speaking of the devil, Jacob went through his 21st surgery yesterday. He had a tonsillectomy. So we had the charity basketball game with the 8th grade kids across the street, Holy Angels. And part of the charity is for Eye on Jacob, who is the baby we're talking about. And he wasn't there because he was recovering from surgery. So he and Gary both went under the knife yesterday.
That's a thing that you participate in every year, and I was noticing some people were mentioning it on Twitter, and that you really stand up for that every year. You go to that game, you play hard. it's a big deal. They've been doing that since I was a kid. When I went,
they've been doing it as long as I've been here, and I've been here since 1990. So, yeah, it's a tremendous thing for the school. Also, I know they thank us for the basketballs every year and the equipment they have and are able to use, not just for basketball, but with their recess programs. And that game, you know, doesn't have to pay for anything other than their equipment. So it's 100% charity to them, and I know Ion Jacob gets a portion, and most of that is due to I know my ex-wife Sonia, she also helps put on the program. As you would know, Ryan has been helpful as well.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing, and you're like the LeBron James of the Jockey basketball. I mean, you're there.
We have the new one now. It's Muggsy Bogues. Drayden Van Dyke has taken over. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He plays the whole 40 minutes, and I play about two. So you got it right. I'm LeBron now. I got a groin injury, and I'm coaching from the bench.
Well, talking to Hall of Famer Kent DeSormo. He got 6,000 last Saturday. He got 6,001 about 25 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Kent, like you said, from the bush tracks in the bayou all the way to Maryland and out to California, stints in New York, Japan, all over the world. Can you pick out a moment or two that really stick out in your mind?
Well, I'd have to give BloodHorse.com some props on that, because they did a little skit in the life of DeSormo's career that came out this morning, and I enjoyed reading it myself. It was some fond memories. You know, you can't get past the first win. There's just no getting past that. I remember every stride of the race, if you can believe that or not. You know, then the next thing in line is my first stake win, and then Gilton, who passed Chris McCarron for the 547th win. I rode her for Charlie Hadry, who was the A guy in Maryland, and I was riding for the A guy. I was very proud of that. Ended up riding a horse called Private Terms that was favored in the Kentucky Derby that Chris Antley rode, because I had broken my collarbone weeks before. I was previously undefeated on that horse, 7-0, and he went off favored and unfortunately had something amiss in the race and recovered very well to win the Mass Cap with me on his back. You know, but if I single them out, they're going to be my first win, my first stake, the record, my first Kentucky Derby. Wow. I mean, I think that's going to be ever hard to surpass, because one of the main reasons I'm still in the game is because I want to win more of those. I ride every day trying to find another Kentucky Derby winner. But in the meantime, being immediately goal-oriented, I want to pass Eddie Delahousie. And I always remember my first stake on Delegant from Michael Whittingham, Charlie Whittingham's son, no less. And, you know, riding for Bobby Frankel. I mean, there was a meet at like Chad Brown. I won every turf race at Del Mar for Frankel and and Neil Drysdale. There wasn't a turf race we left unscathed. I mean, it was the likes of Astra and Tucson and just these freaks of horses that I rode, that now Tucson was like a lottery chip. I rode five additional grade foals of hers, grade one winners, for Judmont that were her foals. So, Honest Lady, Kisling, I can't remember all five right off the back of my hand because there's so many. And then, you know, over the last 5 years, how could I not mention my brother? What a tenure we've been on. We've been in every Kentucky Derby since he came to California. I think I should have won two. Absolutely mad stopped on Exaggerator. He proved that he could have won by winning the Preakness. My boy Jack this year, he'll prove that he could have won it, because absolutely stopped on a dime at the 3/8 pole. And just the things that I've been able to accomplish with Exaggerator and for my brother. And then to end the story, I honestly believe the best horse I've ever ridden so far is Big Brown. And that real quiet defeat in the for the Triple Crown, it hurt, but I got to give it my all. And I would probably win the next nine if we ran it 10 times total. I'd win the next nine times. But it saddens me deeply that Big Brown was not offered a chance. He was by far the best in that race, and unfortunately he was stepped on, and you could have followed him to the barn after the race by following the blood trail back to his stall. So that was my most difficult defeat, him and being DQ'd on the Wicked North. Those are my two transgressions. Those are the two tragic events that they seem to snap in your brain quicker than the successful ones.
Do you have a bucket list race going forward?
A derby for my brother as well, for myself, but more for my brother, I think, and getting 6,384 races. That's the goal. 6,384. When I see that number, God willing, I'll probably hang my saddle on the wall.
That's cool.
I know with a long and storied career like you've had, it's probably hard to narrow it down, but a person or two along the way, whether it be on track or off track, that you give more credit to than some others?
The greatest credit in the world goes to the horseman for, like, I'll repeat my quote, for having the confidence to let me take the reins in pursuit of a win. Each and every one of them. You have no idea. Well, I'm sure Jude does. When you go a week or two without winning a race, a five claiming win is like winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. So I'd have to thank each and every trainer. That would be the biggest thing for me. And the owners, the horsemen as a whole, the word should be horsemen, for having the confidence in me to let me take the reins in pursuit of a win. That is the most important thing, besides God blessing me with the skills to take the reins, to do something with them. Absolutely thank God for these blessings. And, you know, who can say none of us can do this without the owners and the fans?
What was Jude? Did you ever ride for Jude, Kent?
Of course, absolutely.
What was he like to ride for?
I think I rode for some twins. Didn't you have some twin babies?
We did, but we didn't ride those.
For some reason, Jude, I remember that part of our lives together because we were trying to babysit these sickly twins, maybe.
Yeah.
I think I remember that as much as anything.
One of those twins got to the races.
That was a family affair.
Yeah. One of those twins got to the races, but you didn't ride them. They actually ended up running in Washington. But you rode for my most famous client that I ever trained for, Kevin Costner. And on a horse.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was funny.
I sure do.
Because the week the race before, he had come out to the track unannounced because he saw Lafitte was on the horse. And I said, "Oh, you didn't call me?" And he goes, "Well, I saw Lafitte was on the horse. I figured he was going to win." So yeah, he didn't win with Lafitte, but the next time out, I put you on him, and he won, and he was so happy. That was a big deal for Kevin to win that.
That's a big deal
that
for all of us. I mean, yeah. Coming to California, I remember never even knowing I'd go to a movie for viewing pleasure. Never even had one ounce of attention to who was playing the part, anything about the cast. And then you come to California and go to Hollywood Park, and they're all at the racetrack.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Right. Yeah.
And then they get paraded through the jocks room, like you say. I mean, it's awe-inspiring to run into somebody like Sylvester Stallone, who you watch it in Rocky, and you think he's this giant. And he's about an inch taller than me.
Yeah. Sometimes it's surprising the difference. But yeah, that was a memorable moment. And Proud to Be Together was the horse, and it was a really fun day.
You know, speaking of Hollywood stars and all that kind of stuff, this little kid out of Maurice Country, Louisiana, I've been all over the world, ridden some of the fanciest yachts. And I would just have to take that moment, since you brought it up, and be thankful for the industry for introducing me to that part of the world. I mean, I still today couldn't do some of the things I did if I had to do it on my own recognizance. I don't have that much money. I couldn't afford to do some of the things I've done. And that's really an incredible part about my career as well.
Oh, it's been a remarkable one. Ken, thanks for some time today. Continued success. Good luck on the journey to pass Eddie D, and best of luck going forward, pal.
Thanks for the memories. Nice talking to y'all.